Well, I did not want to do this, for sure. I am very nervous. But when Mark asked me to talk a little bit about what I do at work and how it will relate to the gospel and how that's been going, I thought immediately, I don't really know why I should be talking. We have people like Dr. Webster in here and Josh Cronick and Manuel and Jose that... they do it very powerfully every single day and have been doing it much longer than me and with much more wisdom. I know that after this, if you want someone to go to learn from, go talk to Dr. Webster. He has faithfully done this in his work environment for a very long time and done it quite well and is good at mentoring on it. But anyway, I will talk. So... I think most of you heard my testimony a while back, so you know that in the course of getting my PhD in chemistry, I became a Christian. So there's a portion of it before I became a Christian, and then there's the portion about a year now after I was a Christian. So there was a large sort of swing in my work ethic, and everything sort of shifted around my coworkers, or their view of me, how I'd act around them. So it was a very strange time. But just so you know, I'm getting my PhD in chemistry. I work at the University of Georgia. Just so you know, like more of what I do, I'm working with biodegradable plastics, maybe trying to replace some of this, which is quite a powerful thing when Mark is talking about God's common grace towards mankind, being able to be part of that. I had not really thought of it that way, being able to do something good like that. But so I'm not taking classes or anything. I'm just in a lab every single day. For 8 or 9 hours, 9 or 10 hours, depending on the day, just doing the same thing kind of day in and day out. And when Mark talked last night about his friend, I believe, that wanted to become a doctor, but he wanted to do it for all the wrong reasons. He wanted the paycheck. That was me. My plan was to go to medical school before I decided to get my PhD in chemistry. And I wanted to do it for the money, which was... thankfully, why I wound up not doing it after I shadowed a few doctors and realized I could not do the work. I really only wanted to do it for the financial benefit and the academic clout that came with it that I saw. But thankfully, the Lord steered me away from that. And I have somewhat of an affinity for chemistry, very much enjoy knowing why things are the way they are, why a spider web is the way it is, like why materials are the way that they exist. And so I had an affinity for it, so I decided I'd just continue with chemistry, polymer chemistry, to be very specific. And then God gave me opportunity. The ability, this is all from Tim Keller, affinity, ability, opportunity. The affinity, or the ability is yet to be determined, but the opportunity came... when one day I just had no direction after I got accepted, I had no direction as to like whose program I was going to join, what type of chemistry I was going to do, what I was going to do in the future with my job. But I heard my advisor, Dr. Jason Lachlan, speak one day about making plastic from canola oil, which I thought was utterly fascinating. So I went and talked to him, and he quickly realized by my accent that I was from South Georgia. And he was also from South Georgia, so he's like, yeah, come on in. Let's talk this thing up. And so I was like, all right, well, let's talk about it. And so we did, and he just seemed to take a liking to me that was not normal because I was very underqualified. I'm actually one of the least qualified people in my lab, which is very hard. But I just wound up there. Which has been quite wonderful. But to sort of stay in line with what Mark has been talking about with work, I hated it. I hated it from the very beginning. I hated the work that I was doing because I'm naturally lazy. But before I was a Christian, I valued it for the wrong reasons because I still wanted the paycheck. I wanted to have financial security and comfort in the future. And so I was checking all the degrees of chemistry and making sure polymer chemistry lined up with that salary threshold that I had. And so I was lazy, but I valued it. I saw the value in my academic career, that it would provide for a future family, it would provide for me, for comfort. For all the wrong reasons, I valued it. And that's a hard thing to swallow, that that's really why I was doing what I was doing. I was doing something I hated because of money, which is not good. But thankfully, by God's grace, and I will not talk too long about this because you've all heard my testimony, but in the middle of my PhD, he chose to reveal his son to me and called me to himself, adopt me as a son. So that was truly wonderful. And so I became a Christian. And then after that, everything changed, but it was also kind of bad. So I no longer valued my work. This was very strange. I did not really know what to make of this. I still hated the work, but I was seeing the world very differently, as Scott described this morning about someone who has come to know Christ as beautiful, as supreme, as Lord. Everything that I was viewing, the lens through, it was all different. And so I was not wise in Scripture, so I undervalued my job, and I did not think it was spiritual, as Mark has already thrown that out the window. So if I seem a little like I'm disoriented from his list and Scott's message, just because after he asked me to start talking about this, I began to look into it, and I was just like, oh my goodness, I have been doing this very wrong. But this is a good way to describe it. Haley just recently sent me a video of Micah sitting in his little chair watching Sesame Street, and he's got his shirt pulled up about halfway, and he's just playing with his belly button. It was one of the funniest videos I had ever seen. He was just playing with his belly button watching Sesame Street, and that was really... like, I just wanted to sit around and play with my spiritual navel, as John MacArthur would say. that is a John MacArthur phrase, not my phrase. But I wanted to sit around and pontificate and eat grapes, as Mark said last night. I did not really value the work that I was doing. I saw no point in it. I wanted to read Scripture. I would listen to sermons at work. I would be distracted at work. I would prepare for our Bro Bible study at work. Many days, not all the time. I had to do my work, but I did not do it well, and I did not excel at it. I did not put effort into it outside of work. I was just kind of there. Some days, just doing it very poorly, like just totally enthralled in whatever I was listening to that I thought was spiritual. You know, like Mark was saying, you know, you got the chemistry book, and then inside it, you got the Bible, and so people can't. But what I had was like a John Piper sermon open on one tab, and then like a chemistry paper open on the other. Whenever my boss would come in, I'd just switch the tab really quickly, and I thought I was doing something very spiritual by listening to sermons and stuff when I was undervaluing work. But thankfully, I have been sitting under wonderful teaching. This is already getting longer than I thought, but I'm sitting under wonderful teaching, and Mark quoted this guy last night, but I'm going to go ahead and do it again. It's William Tyndale. He says, if we look externally, there is a difference between washing dishes and preaching the word of God. But as touching to please God, there is no difference at all. That's a biblical view of work, that there's no difference when done to the honor of the Lord between preaching and washing the dishes. And so when I was beginning to realize that, and I'd say it's very recent, even... not too long ago, I went with Haley to her boss's dinner. Like, her boss owns a company, which you will hear about. And he talked about the value of work. And I think that's where things started shifting. And then when Mark asked me to talk about this, I started looking into it and realized work done to the glory of God is spiritual. It is, as he said last night, it is a very good thing. We were designed to work. As you can tell, I have a lot of papers up here, but... instead of like writing out what I was going to say, I went with the like copy and paste quote route, and I'm kind of regretting that right now. So realizing that was not the way to go, but as I started reading more scripture, especially in the Proverbs, because Josh Krause is always talking about the Proverbs, so I was like, well, all right, well, I'll read the Proverbs as well. And so I started reading, and then I realized, very slowly, and mostly this week, that sluggard is used 14 times in the Proverbs. And I'll just read a few of them right now if I have time. And the sluggard does not plow after the autumn, so he begs during the harvest and has nothing. The sluggard buries his hand in the dish. He is weary of bringing it to his mouth again. The desire of the sluggard puts him to death, for his hands refuse to work. And this one that I have now at my desk, he also who is slack in his work is a brother to him who destroys. And I realized I was a sluggard. I'm naturally lazy anyway. And when I thought I was doing something very spiritual at work, I was a sluggard. I was not doing the work that the Lord had placed before me. And that was a hard thing to realize. But and if you start reading people like Spurgeon, you realize I do not work hard. When he was very sick, he said, "If I have any message to give from my own bed of sickness, it would be this. If you do not wish to be full of regrets when you are obliged to lie still, work while you can. If you desire to make a sick bed as soft as it can be, do not stuff it with mournful reflections that you wasted time while you're in health and strength." People said to me years ago, "You will break your constitution down with preaching 10 times a week and the like. Well, if I have done so, I'm glad of it. I would do the same again. If I had 50 constitutions, I would rejoice to break them down in the service of the Lord Jesus Christ. You young men that are strong, overcome the wicked one and fight for the Lord while you can. You will never regret having done all that lies in you for our blessed Lord and Master. Crowd as much you can do into every day and postpone no work till tomorrow. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might." And as I began to realize I was sluggard at work, it was a heavy blow to sit under. But thankfully, this conference, I'm very, very thankful to Scott and Mark for teaching me what to do when you realize I'm not working. I don't even have a correct view of work, like one of the most basic things. But this quote from John Piper also helps. "You don't labor to get in a right relationship with God. The gospel dynamics don't work that way. You labor morning till night and with all your might because you're in a right relationship with God." And that is a wonderful thing to realize, that I am in a right relationship. I'm at peace with God through Jesus Christ. I think I will just close with this because this is getting kind of discombobulated. But this is close with two things. I have a quote from a book, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, and then this was something that Piper wrote when John Piper, after he was going to retire as a pastor. I had no idea what a talent he had at poetry, but he wrote this. It's called Pilgrim's Conflict with Sloth. And so I'll read just a portion of that. It says, "My name is Pilgrim. Yesterday at dusk, I met along my way an enemy. His name was Sloth. He tried to lure me like a moth, exhausted to his idle flames. As always, he used other names, relief and respite and repose and rest and leisure. These he knows are worthy seasons in this age, worthy names to make a sage out of a scoundrel." And then skipping towards the end, "The sun had set and Sloth said, 'Night comes, Pilgrim. Let me now keep your book while you sleep. Will not your tireless Jesus keep your going out and coming in? Come, Pilgrim, rest. It is not sin to sleep.' 'That's true,' I said, 'but it is sin to sleep for Sloth. I will not sit or lie while you are near, but stand and take this book in my right hand and in my mouth until you are no longer in my way, nor bar my path of industry in this next season of my life. You miss the mark, old Sloth. You do not know what Jesus bought.' 'Oh, yes, I'll show you,' Sloth replied. 'Come unto me and all who labor now and see the rest that I have bought for you.' That's what he bought. 'Quotes that are true,' I said, 'do not make truth. Old sins like heretics build vice on spins from true half-sighted texts. How gives the Lord this rest? As my God lives, I'll tell you. Sloth, he gives his rest under a yoke, his sweet bequest, blood-bought and suited to the back of every weary saint. The knack of all our plowing, Jesus makes the weighty burden light and takes the yoke beams in his hands and lifts and carries us. Our works are gifts, and Jesus is the giver. Grace bought empowers every pace and with and every enterprise. Sloth, we were made and made again to be co-makers with the maker of the world. To see the world above, and then to make the world below more beautiful. To learn, to know, and then to make to shape, adorn, compose, produce, and turn a thorn into an etching tool, to write, to say what never has been said that way, to sing, to draw, to paint, to build, to stitch and weave until we filled the world with truth. For this God spoke and Jesus died. This is our yoke, our happy yoke. You will not take my work, Sloth. We were made to make. So, Pilgrim, Sloth replied, you'll earn your heaven with your arts. Go learn your Bible better. Saved by grace, not works. The book is clear. Go chase your heaven, laboring. That's not my taste. My heaven, Sloth, I answered, chased me long before I found my way to it. Grace, to be sure. The day will show again the half-text you left out. Sloth, we are made to do. We are his workmanship in Christ, made for good works. He sacrificed his life that we might live in them. He the vine, and we the stem, and they the fruit. Is not the fruit of love our life? Pointless dispute, Sloth muttered to himself. He turned to go and said to me, you've spurned my offer of sweet rest. Go waste your life. You are a fool. You'll taste your sorrow. Mark my words, and he was gone. And so one victory obtained, my really weary soul was kept, and I lay down my head and slept. I found that just a powerful, powerful text on not being slothful, on the value of work, on the value of making, that we were made to make. And I did not realize that God is allowing me in his common grace, just like Micah burning his hand, and they were able to go to Dollar General and get salve for his hand, aloe vera. He has allowed me to be in his common grace to help reduce the plastic load on this earth. As weird as that sounds, that is a trouble for us, and he has allowed me to be part of that. To one day, whatever little part, even if I'm not successful, I will be a small part or a great part, Lord willing, whatever his will would be, that I would allow to be as part of his common grace to mankind is truly wonderful. And all of the list that Mark gave us last night in the gospel at the end and the gospel that Scott gave us this morning so powerfully, I cannot believe that one thing, sorry, I'm going very long, but one thing is in our lab, like when Scott said, how dare I with the gospel not take out the trash? One thing in our lab is people will leave the solvent bottles empty, just like you come to the sink and the acetone's gone. And I'm just so bent out of shape that I've got to pick up this thing and refill after all these people. And how dare I just not fill the solvent bottles up? How easy is that to serve my neighbor by my work? But I can already feel, last night my mind was just on fire with the things that Mark brought to my attention. But I can already, last night I cannot wait to go to work. And then today I can already feel like I do not want to go back there. But I will, I promise, close with this. This is a quote from Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Every day brings to the Christian many hours in which he will be alone in an unchristian environment. These are the times of testing. This is the test of true meditation and true Christian community, something I'm so thankful to be part of. Has the fellowship served to make the individual free, strong, and mature, or has it made him weak and dependent? Has it taken him by the hand for a while in order that he may learn again to walk by himself, or has it made him uneasy and unsure? This is one of the most searching and critical questions that can be put to any Christian fellowship. Furthermore, this is the place where we find out whether the Christian's meditation has led him into the unreal from which he awakens in terror when he returns to the workday world, or whether it has led him into a real contact with God from which he emerges strengthened and purified. Has it transported him for a moment into a spiritual ecstasy that vanishes when everyday life returns, or has it lodged the word of God so securely and deeply in his heart to obedience, to good works? Only the day can decide. One who returns to the Christian family fellowship after fighting the battle of the day brings with him the blessing of his aloneness, but he himself receives anew the blessing of the fellowship. Blessed is he who is alone in the strength of the fellowship, and blessed is he who keeps the fellowship in the strength of his aloneness. But the strength of aloneness and the strength of the fellowship is solely the strength of the word of God, which is addressed to the individual in the fellowship. And Mark and Scott, I'm so thankful that you bring the word of God to us so that we can go out into the aloneness of the world and have the word of God lodged deeply in our hearts. So thank you very much for that. Thank you.
So these past 7 months, I have been working for an agribusiness company called Kelly Products. And the bulk of my job right now is a lot of different special projects. They call it special projects, I figured out, so they can kind of put you on any type of job. And it's under special projects, so you can't say anything about it. But a lot of what I do, I really enjoy. I help to coordinate field trips and farm tours to our dairy/creamery that we have about 15 minutes away from Madison, Georgia. And recently, I've been doing a lot of sales with our creamery products, as well as our meat and grits and cornmeal. So my job has kind of changed over the past 7 months and the different things that I've gotten to do. But it's really cool because basically all of the things that I have been doing are the things that when people would ask me what I wanted to do, I would just spout off all of these random things. Like, I wanted to teach kids where their food comes from, and I get to do that in coordinating field trips to our creamery. I even thought about wanting to do sales, and I'm getting to do that, much to my disdain now, but... Even bits of research, I was thinking, I do like research, I am interested in that, although I didn't really want to keep going with academia, and I got to do that and working on a project for my boss about the ability of doing a local beef supply chain in the state of Georgia, something that could impact the state in the terms of getting these South Georgia farmers and these places in rural Georgia, trying to help alleviate the poverty there and getting a local food system in place. So that was another cool special project that I got to work on that I was very privileged to be able to do. I've definitely learned a lot over the past 7 months, and I have been learning that it is by divine appointment that the Lord has placed me in this job with the specific coworkers I have. And he has been so faithful in giving me the practical wisdom needed to be able to do my job successfully, all for his glory. The owner of my company, Mr. Kelly, is a big entrepreneur, and he owns about 12 other different companies under Kelly Products, all of which fall under the umbrella of agribusiness. So he's very passionate about agriculture. He's very passionate about business. But he'll be the first to tell you that his biggest passion is Christ and his relationship with Jesus. And it's pretty cool, as Grant was saying, when we have holiday dinners or something like at Thanksgiving and Christmas, he served all of his almost 200 employees a dinner and then shared the gospel with them and had his Bible out, reciting all types of scripture and really earnestly told all of his employees how much he desired for them to know Christ as he does, and he had Bibles out for people that did not have a Bible in both Spanish and English, and little different devotional books, and he'll be the first to tell you that that's the main thing that he cares about is the spiritual health of his employees. And he was talking to me a few weeks ago telling about how one of my co-workers was, I guess, in great distress and sat down at a table with him and poured his heart out to him for 2 hours. And he said that he prayed with him that day and in hopes that the prayer that the employee said is a prayer that brought him to Christ that day. So I've been very fortunate to be able to work for a Christian company. However, over a year ago, I had no idea where I would be or what I would be doing with my life. I very much wanted to stay in Athens because of the church plant, but I didn't necessarily know for sure if that would be the case. And so that's kind of the majority of what I wanted to share with you all today, kind of the steps that got me to where I am today and God's sovereignty through all of it. So my freshman year of college, I chose animal science as a career path, not really knowing what I would do. I kind of was indecisive anyway and didn't really have another decision to make about that. I enjoyed the department, I enjoyed the faculty there, and I enjoyed learning about meat science. So that was fun. And then the opportunity came to pursue a master's degree in meat science, and I took it primarily because I wanted to work with the professor that offered it to me. And I also didn't really know what else I would do at that time. I was kind of graduating a semester early and didn't really feel like making that type of decision for my life yet of where I would go after college. And so staying in Athens allowed me to be a part of the church plant that started a couple years ago. And so I'm very thankful to have been with North Avenue from the beginning. And it's been really cool to watch it grow since then. So during the fall of 2016, my major professor started kind of talking to me about the future. He wanted to kind of get a feel for what I was thinking, what I would want to do, if I wanted to go on to get a PhD, and if that were the case, I would probably want to look at Iowa State or Texas Tech, all of these random places in the Midwest. And if I didn't want to do that, most of the people in my major would go work for a Smithfield or Cargill or JBS, all of these big meat science companies that were located mainly in the Midwest, and definitely not in the state of Georgia, and definitely not in Athens, Georgia. So I told him when we were having those conversations that I wanted to stay around Athens because of the church plant, and that I did not think it was wise to move away by myself just for a job. It didn't seem biblical to me at the time to do that as a single girl, to go off just kind of into the world. I don't know, I was picturing me just walking around, like not knowing where I was going or anything. And so he told me that I would be overqualified and underpaid for anything that I found around here, but if that's what was important to me, then we would find something. However, I went to a career fair that November, and it quickly became more apparent that there were not many meat science jobs in this area, or at least things that I would actually be qualified for or want to do. So that's around the time when I started asking for prayer in both our discussion group as well as our family group. And I know Miss Elizabeth Long would definitely pray with me the many times she would ask me if there was anything that I needed prayer for, and I'm very thankful for you guys for doing that for me. Around that January, I had to make a quick decision on whether I would take an internship to work with Smithfield in Virginia that summer. And so around that time was when we started discussing in our discussion group, how do we discern the will of God? What does that even mean? And the importance of looking for churches in an area where you are considering going and making sure that they teach solid doctrine, that they don't make light of sin, and that they preach both sin and grace. And so Kelly and I started Googling churches in that small city in Virginia, and I can't even remember if we even found anything. I don't think we did.
It was like an hour away.
Yeah, and I also didn't really want to move to Virginia. And it was only January, so that was kind of an easy decision just to turn down, because I figured that there would quickly be other opportunities for me. As the months went by, there were a couple different job opportunities that I applied for online. I didn't really hear back, and it was getting harder and harder not to try and peer over God's shoulder. I was reading Paul Tripp's book, Broken Down House, and I was sure he was referring to me in his statement. Perhaps instead what has given us our inner sense of well-being is our ability to figure life out and our seeming power to control our circumstances, whether through intelligence, determination, prosperity, or something else. When God calls us to wait through circumstances that we cannot understand, and in places where important things are out of our control, losing that inner peace can make life unbearably difficult. I very much struggled to maintain that inner peace during that time. Psalm 131 was very big for me during that time. and learning the importance of prayer and reciting scripture in your prayers and pouring your heart out to the Lord. Oh Lord, my heart is not lifted up, my eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with matters too great or too marvelous for me, but I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord this time forth and forevermore. It was very hard to try and trust the Lord when it appeared on the outside as though nothing were really happening. Around the end of March, I emailed some contacts that I had gained in my time as a 4-H'er, as well as some people that I knew through the College of Ag. And I was asking them if they knew of any places around the area and kind of told them about what I wanted to do and that I was looking for a job. And so my resume got sent to a couple different places and two interviews came out of those emails. The first job that I interviewed for was in LaGrange, Georgia, doing something that I thought was exactly what I was looking for. I very much respected the owner of the company there, and he and my dad were good friends in college, which kind of made it even harder. I also really enjoyed the interview and being around the people in their office. And they offered me a job, which increased the inner conflict within me. This job seemed to be what I was looking for. The only problem was that it was in LaGrange, Georgia. I did not really have a desire to move to LaGrange. I was contemplating whether I could commute. It was about 2.5 hours away through Atlanta, which would add to that. So that was really hard. I was very confused and angry that I had been praying to stay, and it seemed like there wasn't a reason for me to stay anymore. There were a couple different churches around that area that seemed to be solid in doctrine. I listened to some of their sermons, but they definitely weren't like North Avenue. I'm thankful to God for having close friends around me during that time. The very community that I was considering leaving was the community that encouraged and prayed for me during that time. One night, Kelly spent much time in prayer with me, reading through and praying the Proverbs, asking that the Lord would give me wisdom in this decision-making. Also during that time, I was struggling to finish up my research and defend my thesis. I was getting very behind in that work, and it kind of didn't even look as if I would graduate. The professors on my committee actually had to write a petition for me to be able to defend my thesis a week later and get it in right before graduation. And thankfully that went through, and by God's grace, I was able to finish up and get done with grad school. I was kind of thinking, I had in my mind that once I finally get a job, my life will be a little bit better. And I just kind of wanted to be done with school and done with all of that, and definitely wanted to know where I would be at within the next couple of weeks. I did not care anymore what type of job I had. I just knew that I wanted to be near Athens. And it was also hard because I wanted to honor my parents who wanted me to use my degree. And a little bit of me also wanted to be able to use my degree and the random meat science knowledge that I have. I wanted to be able to put it to use somewhere. And I really did not think I would be able to do that. I had a phone call scheduled with Commissioner Black that same week that I turned that job down to see if there were anything in the Department of Agriculture available. He said that they were pretty maxed out, but he gave me a page full of people to contact after I told him a little bit about what I would like to do. I think there were at least 20 names of people on that list, and Keith Kelly in Madison, Georgia was the closest to Athens. So my major professor texted someone he knew that worked for Mr. Kelly, and we got his cell phone number, and I cold called him and told him about that I was graduating with this degree and that I was looking for jobs and kind of wondering if there were any opportunities available for me to work for him. And I think I kind of caught him off guard. I found out a little bit later that he does not give his cell phone number out to people. So he was definitely kind of confused, but took it very well. He kind of thought that I was just wanting to come down and see this place he has called Farmview Market, just to tour it or something. And he was telling me to bring a group down and we'll go. And I got his email address and followed up with him and attached my resume. And I wrote down that I was looking forward to hear about possible job opportunities. I did not want there to be any type of confusion on why I was going down there. This is not just a little lunch date. I went and had lunch with him and his daughter, who does marketing for their companies, as well as their HR lady. And we kind of talked about the different things that I would like to do in a career and the different areas of work that they had done and were going to do in the future. And so we shared a lot of different common interests, and it was a really encouraging conversation because a lot of the things that I told them that I wanted to do were things that they also wanted to do. They just didn't have time to do them and didn't really have someone there to be able to do them. Also during that conversation, I got to talk to Mr. Kelly about Colossians 3 and the importance of working for the Lord and not for human masters, and he told me that that was actually their company's motto. So that was really encouraging to hear as well. However, after that lunch, their HR lady kind of told me that they didn't have specific positions available, but they were interested in looking at the possibility of writing out a job description for me. And so I told them that I was definitely interested in that and followed up with them in an email and waited to hear from there. Also that same week, I had an interview in Macon for a job, and I was really confident that I would be offered that job. They kind of asked me to apply for it and asked me when I would be available for interviews and kind of were making it so they were tailoring this job around me. And that kind of made me a little bit arrogant. I found a church there and it was pretty solid in doctrine. I enjoyed their sermons and I was actually thinking about the possibility of moving to Macon. Part of me believed that if I did have to move, I would be the one who would do Lone Ranger ministry well. The other part of me kind of wanted the satisfaction of turning another job down for the sake of this church, but both were quite sinful and definitely driven by my pride. However, the Lord had other plans, and I found out a week later that I did not get offered that job. I think he knew that that would have been too much on me. However, that June, Kelly Products got back with me with a job description. I accepted their offer that next Monday and signed a lease in Athens that next day, so I would be staying in Athens another year. And I praise God that that was the end of that search. I learned that it was not up to me to try to figure out what a God who passes all understanding is doing in my life. But I know that he was conforming me to the image of his son through all of it. All the distress in the job search, all of the prayers, and all of the nights spent having to sing aloud to myself, "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, and great is thy faithfulness," until I actually started believing them. Looking back, it's cool to see God's sovereignty in placing me in graduate school, placing me in this body of believers who would soon take part in answered prayers in my life, and giving me connections and contacts in the past that would lead to a job in my future, and God using those specific means for my sanctification and his glory. In that season, I learned that all I have needed, thy hand hath provided, and that he gives us what we need in his timing. In the words of Jerry Bridges, we can trust God to guide us. He will lead us all the way. And when we stand before his throne, we will not be singing about successfully discovering the will of God. Rather, with Fanny Crosby, we too will sing, "Jesus led me all the way." Thank you.